This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Yo, welcome to All Things Covered with Patrick Peterson and Bryant McFadden, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. The name says it all. If you like what you hear, download and subscribe and make sure you leave us a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts. You can also watch us on YouTube. Just visit youtube.com/allthingscovered. Pat P, what are we going to cover on this episode?
Man, we got a big time lineup today.
Yes, sir.
First of all, we're going to talk about the win that we had against the Philadelphia Eagles. Then we're going to talk about the Jets. Man, they got their first win this week, yo.
Hey, the Jets won and lost in the same week. How's that even possible? That's not supposed to be possible.
Hey, man, they're talking about Trevor Lawrence, but you never know. So Jaguars and the Jets are fighting for that number one draft pick.
Yep.
And also, we're going to talk to one of my favorites, who's not very shy of letting it be known, LeVar Ball.
Big baller brand, stand
yes,
up.
Yes, sir.
Join us later in the show. Yes, sir.
Please, baby.
Now, listeners, viewers, you already know what time it is. It's the first quarter of our show, and this is where we tap into chopping it up. You know, usually we take you down a memory lane. We share fun, cool stories with you guys, but we're going to keep this updated, right? Updated. And what I mean when I say that, we're not going back in time. We're going to stay right here with the current situation. And for Pat P, just like myself, you know, we really rock when it comes to the fashion standpoint. You know what I'm saying? We really, you know, we take pride in how we look and how we smell. You know what I mean? Cause they go hand in hand. If you look good, you gotta smell good. You know what I mean? So right. You gotta make sure your cologne and everything is up to par. So Pat P, man, with this episode and chopping it up, I don't know if your followers, you know, saw your picture going into the stadium and getting ready to take care of your business against the Philadelphia Eagles. But your wardrobe was on point, homeboy. Looked like you had some things going on. So I'm gonna fill the listeners and the viewers in about what you had on, and you can kind of go more in depth about that desired wardrobe. And also too, from top to bottom, like give us a insight about what you had on and why you picked what you had on. But you had on a nice red Supreme Louis sweatshirt. Then you had the accessories that go with it, with the red mask, and you had the red bag. You know what I mean? And you also had an accent, a slight up accent, red in your shoes. But talk about the fashion that you believe in when you talk about putting yourself together and why that's important to you, especially when you're going into your place of work.
Man, you know, Mac, that was just some slight, man.
That was slight. That was like. Like this, just give me something right quick, huh?
Yeah, I'm just going like to like a Sunday picnic or a brunch or something like that. You know, that wasn't even Sunday's best. You know, that was just some a little slight work. But I saw the funny thing about it, Mac, I wasn't even planning on wearing that. I went to my closet because I left the hotel that morning, like thinking about like, man, what the heck I'm going to wear today? Because I wanted to wear black. I wanted to wear all black. But I didn't.
I love all black. All black.
Yeah, me too. That's just what I do. They, you know, I'm blackout shouted. That's what they call me. You know, so that's, you know, every time you see me, I got blackout cleats and I got my black sleeve on.
Yep.
So I'm blackout shouted. So I wanted to go to the game in all black, but I really wasn't feeling it. And what I had in mind in all black, I didn't like the way it turned out. So you know what? I was like, man, I'm going through my thing, going through my closet. Boom, boom, boom. I was like, man, I ain't never wear this sweater before. So I said, boom, let me see if I can put something together with this real quick. Boom, pulled out the Louis sweater, the Supreme collection that came out about 2 years ago, if I'm not mistaken. I got that. I got the bag, the duffel bag, which is also collectible items. Now are going for a hot, pretty ticket if I wanted to sell those. But yeah, going through my, I was like, man, let me see if I can put something together with this. Found my Mary jeans. The shoes I had on was a Saint Laurent, if I'm not mistaken. And the thing I love about the Saint Laurent and those Amiri jeans is that they both have like that hint of leopard print. And it's very subtle on the shoes, but you can see it on the jeans. And it's just something like just very subtle that's offset that I believe that that gives the outfit a little bit of pop. And the accessories that you was talking about, you know, I really don't wear many chains. That's the only chain that I do own, Cuba Link. It's like a lock, like a chain of it, like you locking a
like bike. Like a bike.
Right, exactly. Just a Cuban Link, one of those chains. Got from your boy, shout out to AJ.
AJ, what's up, AJ? AJ Jewelry.
Mm-hmm. I had the double P on Paddock. I don't know. I couldn't tell you the exact number. I think it was the 5280, if I'm not mistaken.
That gold Paddock. Boy, right?
Yeah, the rose gold.
Rose gold. Okay.
Yeah, rose gonna have the pinky ring on too. So, like I said, it was just something a little slight, man.
Light work.
Yeah, but one of never mind. I can't. I'm getting ahead of myself. I hold that for something.
What you got? You gonna give us a slight spiel?
No, I was gonna say for our bonus episode, one of our guests, he's big into fashion as well.
Yeah,
Big into fashion. I love the way he put some things together, especially his Air Force One game and Timberland game. Just to give you guys a heads up who that could be.
That's what you call a tease.
Yes, sir.
That's what you call a tease. My question for you, Pat. I understand this past weekend you said you went into the closet, like, you know, right before the ball game. But if there's a prime time matchup, do you prepare ahead of time about what you're going to wear to the stadium based on the matchup, based on the type of ball game? Let's say if it's playoffs, let's say, if you know, if it's something it's a prime time matchup, Sunday night, Thursday night, Monday night. Do you prepare ahead of time?
Now, the only time I really prepare ahead of time is if you're traveling on the road. Because obviously, you know, you got to have your bag. Well, for me, at least, I like to have my bag packed and ready before I wake up and go through my walkthroughs. I don't want to be coming home scrambling for anything. I hate that. So my bag is already literally packed before I wake up Saturday morning, or if it's Friday morning, if we're traveling to the East Coast, already ready to roll. For me, that's the only time I really have to put some thought. And well, not even put no thought into it, but because for the most part, I like to schedule my outfits and what I'm going to wear through at the beginning of the year in August. So I'm not looking in. So I have a bunch of options already laid out for me. It's just going to see or if I want to wear that right now, if I want to, you know what I mean? So it's not like I'm going to my closet trying to pick in pieces, put pieces together. It's like I'm just, you know, that's how organized I try to be. So I'd be like, all right. We're going to New York. I know it's going to be kind of cold. I'm going to have like four or five options. Boom. Those would be my options for New York. Same thing when we went to Massachusetts. I don't have really many options of when I'm at home because I kind of go with the flow. But as far as road games, I definitely have options already pretty much ready to wear. And I could just go look at those options and see what I'm really feeling for that game.
Well, that's what's up. Well, I'm going to tell you this much for the listeners and viewers, you know, checking us in, All Things Covered. Make sure you monitor Pat's social media because he usually give you guys a quick peek about the style that he's going into, either if it's on a road trip or a home game. Yeah. He usually give you guys, you know what I mean, a little sneak peek about what he's rocking. And usually he's always on point. That's my guy. It wouldn't be no other way. That's the only way you got to do it. You're gonna do it, you got to do it big. Now, it's time for Cardinals Check-In. Here's where we recap the most recent ball game with the Arizona Cardinals. That was a home game against the Philadelphia Eagles. The Cardinals jumped right back into the winning column once again. Final score 33-26. Entertaining ball game. I can say this much about the Arizona Cardinals. They have been involved in a lot of entertaining ball games throughout the year. When you look at the stats, you know, both teams combined for 948 yards of offense, even though they combined to go for 9 for 28 on third down. So third down defense from both sides played well. Kyler Murray, 27-36, 406 yards, 4 total touchdowns, 3 through the air, 1 on the ground, 1 interception. DeAndre Hopkins, man, you know, we had DeAndre Hopkins on the show a few weeks ago, man. He continues to ball out, man. Clearly one of the best wide receivers in the game. 9 receptions for 169 yards, a 1 receiving touchdown. Like I said, entertaining ball game. But from the personal standpoint with you, Pat, you were animated. You know, we saw some emotion coming from you. Seemed like you had some issues going on with the referees. Seemed like you was talking a little bit to some of the Eagle players, man. But tell us what was going on. I feel your pain because as a former defender, you know, anytime they hit you with a flag, we always feel like we're in the right anyway. But anytime it's a bad call, clearly that's an issue. But talk about, you know, the emotions that you were displaying this past Sunday against the Eagles.
Man, like I told you 3 weeks ago, Mac, everything matters, man. You don't, like, every situation matter, every second matter, every drive matter. So, and we're playing for our livelihood right now. So, you know, those emotions come out when it's, when everything's on the line, because you don't want to be the culprit of the downfall of not letting this team succeed. But I feel like the first holding call that I got in that game, like I said, like I'm always going to give up a fight, although the ref is not going to change their mind. And when I do get a holding call, I confess. I'm like, all right, yeah, you got me. Boom, you got me. But when a ref tell me if I do commit a holding, a penalty, which I don't believe both of those calls are no penalty, and I get no call on possibly the game-sealing interception, is I hate when they hit me with, well, I cannot see the receiver.
Stop.
Why are you at a disadvantage?
You're trying to see the receiver. Yeah, you're
right.
Not trying
I'm
to
like,
see
why are you at a disadvantage? Because that's not fair for me. We already have the hardest job on this football field. We're playing against our back against the wall, fighting with this guy, and have to be able to locate the ball at the same time. And when receivers are fighting position from jump, like, why we can't touch them past 5 yards, but they can touch us all the way through the catch?
No question.
So,
and they give you that slight little nudge right before the ball get there that creates a lot of separation that's never called.
Yeah. Right. But get you back to my heated, why I was so heated was because I was most heated on the second PI, the one I was in the end zone, because he literally almost ripped my helmet off my face. I'm like, he's grabbing my face mask, ref. Like, what do you want me to do? I tell the ref, I say, he's hooking me. The ref tells me, if he's hooking you, you have to find a way to get loose.
What?
I'm like, how can I get loose when he's hooking me? Like, he has my outside arm, and I can't push out because he's hooking me. So I'm like, when he finally decides to let me go, I'm like, because Alshon Jeff, that's my guy. He's a great receiver. He's not fast enough to get on my top shoulder every dang on time. Like, I told the ref this before the game. I was like, man, I'm not begging for no calls. I'm not asking for no calls. I just want the game to be called fairly. That's it. Yeah, we got you, Patrick. Yeah, we got you, Patrick. We get in the game, and it's total opposite. You know what I mean? And then the one in the fourth quarter literally almost ripped my sleeve off. First of all, he went out of bounds. The ref threw his hat. He was the one that touched the ball. So therefore, he went out of bounds to touch the ball. That's legal touching, mm-hmm. if I'm not mistaken.
Yep.
So why wasn't there no flag still? The ref told me this after I said, ref, look at my sleeve. My sleeve is off my arm. He said, well, Patrick, he ran out of bounds. I said, okay, he ran out of bounds. I get that. So if he ran out of bounds, he was the first to touch the ball because I didn't touch that ball. Yeah. That's illegal touching. Oh, I didn't see that.
Hey, life of a defensive back in the National Football League.
Oh, man, like I'm tired of hearing that I can't see that, or I'm not in a position. You need more help then.
No, sir, and that's something you've been talking about. You know, throughout
since
the
we
year.
Since started this show.
Yeah, since we started since this show, adding an extra official.
That's the one thing I hate to hear, that explanation that, oh, we can't see the receiver. Are you trying to see them, or you need more eyes to help you?
Well, Pat, you played against a young quarterback. You know, you talked about some of the PI issues that surfaced in the ball game and jumping on the refs for those bad calls, and I'm right there with you. But you look at the quarterback you were going against, young quarterback making his second start in the National Football League, Jalen Hurts. You look at his numbers, 24 for 44, 338 yards, 4 total touchdowns, 3 through the air, 1 on the ground. 4th Eagles quarterback in franchise history, and the first since Michael Vick in 2010 to have 300-plus passing yards, 3 passing TDs, and 1 rushing touchdown in a single game. I mean, you played against some young quarterbacks, right, throughout the year. Tua Tagovailoa a few weeks ago in Arizona for the Miami Dolphins. Now, just going against Jalen Hurts, played against Josh Allen. When you look at Jalen Hurts' game, watching film and seeing him up close and personal, you know, is there a chance that he could be a special one going forward?
I think he can. You know, the thing going into that game, what's difficult about playing against a young quarterback of his caliber is that, especially when this is his first game starting. I mean, his second game starting, but in that first game, you kind of want to spoon feed him. Don't want to give him too much.
Yeah.
But we kind of knew that it was going to open the playbook a little bit more for him, but we didn't know what to expect. But he definitely has all the tools and the intangibles to be a great quarterback in this league for sure. Show great poise, show great leadership, show great just, he was just always just cool. You know, it just always just seemed like the moment wasn't ever too big for him bringing his team back when they was down 16. You know, just showed a lot of fight and showed a lot of dog that he is, a Q that he is. So, you know, I think he definitely have all the tools to be a good quarterback, a great quarterback in this league for sure.
Do you think Jalen Hurts should be the quarterback of the future after this season, knowing you still have Carson Wentz on the roster?
Man, it's tough because, you know, with them drafting Jalen as high as they did, and if he continued to perform the way that he is performing, I believe had no interceptions, three passing touchdowns, one rushing touchdown. I mean, that's pretty promising. I could see if he went out there and threw for like, you know, 24 for 44 and only had like 160-something yards, no touchdowns, rushed to, then you can start considering, you know, giving Carson that opportunity again. But the way he's performing and beating a pretty hot Saints team and coming into the desert, almost pulling off another one, I think you got to pretty much slowly continue to hand him the keys to the car for sure.
Well, I'm going to say it for you. I think Carson Wentz is done in Philadelphia. They need to start trying to look up some trade suitors. Frank Reich in the Colts, they could look for a quarterback, new quarterback in Indy next season. I know that would be ideal for Carson because they had a lot of positive numbers working together. And who knows what the Patriots might do? They might need a quarterback going forward because they might want to, you know, look elsewhere outside of Cam Newton. So there will be options available
for him for sure.
Yeah. But as long as they have that Nick Foles statue in Philadelphia, I think that's going to always lure over Carson Wentz. Yeah. You're the franchise quarterback and you guys built a statue of someone who won a championship, granted, deserving so, but I think that's always going to bother him mentally. So I think for both parties, the team and the player, it's best that they part ways, in my opinion. So we have to wait and see, but it will be a story to monitor.
That's the way it's going to go. Just the way, you know, the way Jalen is trending, you know, you know, just seem like, you know, cause obviously you have those concerns of Carson being, I believe him and Daniel Jones have the most turnovers in the league, if I'm not mistaken, with, you know, a handful of interception and a handful of sack fumbles. So, and Jalen, you know, I don't think he threw an interception last week either. So he's playing carefree football. So, you know, you've been in this game. That's what teams care about, you know, not giving away drives or putting extra drives on the defense. You know, if we're not scoring, we need to be putting the ball off or trying to flip that field position. And Jalen gives them the best opportunity right now.
And he's yet to throw interception as a starter. He had that interception when he jumped in for Carson in relief against the Packers. But as a starter, he's been pretty efficient and smart with the football. Yeah. No interceptions. One lost fumble. One fumble against the Saints. I think they recovered that. But all in all, I mean, the man is playing his real clean, smart football, and that's all you can ask from your quarterback. Yeah. Now, when you look ahead, the next up-and-coming ball came for the Arizona Cardinals. 49ers look ahead. This is the next opponent. I mean, the first time you played against San Francisco, this team looked different, right? And you won that first ball game against San Francisco. Now, with all the injuries, so many key players on IR, this is a different ball club. They just took one on the chin from the Dallas Cowboys. They're now eliminated from the playoffs. But, you know, understanding how important this ball game is for you guys, Pat P, and you're basically playing against a undermanned team. You know, what's the thought process in attacking this team and knowing you have no room for error?
You got to take control. I mean, you got to start fast, you know, from the start to the end, because San Francisco is still a dangerous football team. You know, they still have the talent there. And obviously you saw that they was down big in that game and still found a way to compete for that last drive to help them, you know, put themselves in the position to win that game. Obviously the onside kick made the game look a little bit more out of hand than what it was, but they still are a dangerous team and a team that can, that got great talent across the board. You know, so we know this game is, and it's a division game. So it's not like they're going to come in and lay down. You know we're going to get their best shot. We know they obviously want to win those games against their divisional opponents. We have to be prepared. Like I said, we have to start fast. You know, obviously they know that their season over. So when you start fast on a team that season is over, they'll be like, all right, this game's over, the hell with it. You know, when you let them stick around, you give them that hope and that belief that they can win the game now. So if we come out here this week, have a great week of preparation through this Christmas week, and move on a Saturday and hopefully put our best foot forward so we can get a dub.
Yeah, real quick, the Cardinals have won 8 games in the season. The first time since 2017, you were part of the team when they finished 8-8. They have not had a winning season since 2015 when they finished 13-3 and made the NFC Championship ball game, and you were a part of that team as well. So let's see exactly what you guys can do this past Sunday to finish the season on a good note, and most importantly, get into the tournament. Now, before we transition to around the league, we just got some breaking news. The NFL just released some names that made the Pro Bowl, and from the Arizona Cardinals, Pat P., you've got 4 guys who made the Pro Bowl. I'm sorry, 3 guys. Number 1, Kyler Murray. I think no surprise there, especially how well he's performed. Had a big game this past Sunday. DeAndre Hopkins made it, and your secondary mate, Buda Baker. Buda Baker make it. Is this his first Pro Bowl or?
No, I think he made it last
year. His second. Yeah, he made it last year. But talk about these 3 guys and, you know, the job they've done for the organization the entire season.
I'm well-deserving those guys getting those nominees. You know, obviously D-Hop doing what he's continued to do all year. Buda being that heartbeat for this defense. And Kyler just being Kyler, you know, all year long. You know, now we just have to continue to find a way to put it together so we can go out there and win ball games and hopefully get us to that ultimate goal, and that's winning the championship. So that's the main goal that I know that those guys are most concerned about. Definitely playing a game at a high level and deserving of the Pro Bowl. But I know those guys got a bigger vision and bigger sight on the big goal, the bigger bowl.
No doubt. No doubt. We know where the big bowl is at. It's in Tampa. Yeah. So, hey, don't meet us there, beat us there. That's what they used to say. Now it's time for Around the League. Here's where we tap into the news throughout the National Football League. We just gave you guys the insider of the Pro Bowl. We definitely will be breaking some other news as well. But one of the big topics, I think, from the National Football League from this past Sunday slate of ball games. Yes. When it comes to gambling, when it comes to betting, I know there are a lot of people that thought they had a for sure thing, right? When you talk about parlays or playing some of these football tournaments where you got to pick a clear-cut winner. But the Jets played spoiler. They got their first win against the Rams.
Big, man. Hey, double digit spread.
That's why even if you took the money line, you're mad. If you took the Rams to win money line, you're still mad because the Rams did not win. Now, Pat, for you guys, that's a pretty good thing. You know what I mean? Because, you know, you're fighting with the Rams just in the division alone. So anytime they can lose, that's important. But how surprised were you when you saw the final score of the Jets in the Rams game?
Man, Mac, I was very surprised. When I saw the score, I was like, oh, don't worry, the Rams gonna come back. I think it was like 13.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing. I said, the Jets gonna find a way to trick this off and lose the ball game. I was saying the same thing.
I said, don't worry, they're gonna find a way to, not trick it off, but I said, the Rams gonna find a way to come back and win this ball game.
Yeah.
And sure and behold, there was like, Jared Goff just threw a pick with like 20 something seconds left. I was like, damn, that's crazy. That's shocking for sure. Cause no one in the world picked the Jets to win that ball game.
No, I don't
care what nobody said. Nobody in the world picked the Jets to win that ball game. They did. I'm sure it would have been out right now on Instagram saying this lucky guy done, you know, put, you know, however much money it was that the Jets would beat the Rams. I was very shocked that they beat them, though. I really was. I thought the Jets was going to go winless this year, but they got some tough games coming up, the finish off the season. But hey, they won win. They got their Super Bowl victory.
Check this out, though. The Jets are the first winless team in NFL history to beat a 9-plus winning team on the road. The first time ever. So now, for the Jets, they won, but they actually lost because of that win.
Second pick now.
Yeah, they're currently slated to get the second pick, who probably won't be Trevor Lawrence. And if you've been living under a rock, they believe Trevor Lawrence will be the next great quarterback. They're saying that he's probably the best quarterback prospect since Andrew Luck, who was drafted by the Indianapolis Colts. So the Jacksonville Jaguars, their next 2 ball games, they have, they got Chicago and they got the Colts, and both teams got to win this ball game. So there's a good chance Jacksonville might not win another ball game. And that's why the New York Jets fans probably will be intoxicated the entire week, because they're feeling like they're missing an opportunity to draft someone who could change the direction of the program. But I can tell you this much, Pat, you were once a part of a team that had the first overall selection right in the draft. And then with that pick, you guys selected Kyler Murray. Throughout that process and that year, I think you guys won 3 games, if I'm not mistaken. You were 3-13. Mm-hmm. Do players
with
care
Kyler?
About? Yeah, with Kyler. You guys were 3-13, if I'm not mistaken. I think you won 3 games that year in 2018.
Oh no, no, no. That was Steve Wilkshire to force us to get college, what you saying?
Yeah, that year. Being a part of that team and the record and, you know, understanding what was at stake, do you guys monitor where they potentially could be drafting when you talk about, you know, struggling and not winning enough ball games and people are saying you could have the first overall selection or second or whatever the case may be? How was that process for y'all?
Well, I won't say we monitor it. You know, you see it enough, you know, the back end of the season where you could possibly be. So you're like, God damn, you know, we could possibly get this person. And that's not a good feeling, you know, towards the back end of the year when you put so much forth in the season. So, but I evidently I've been there before because, like you said, we had the opportunity to have the number one pick in 2018. So I won't necessarily say guys monitor, you know, where teams are going to be picked. I mean, because you know, the roster changed over so much. Unless you're like a franchise guy or a top five guy, that you know that you're pretty much stable. I'll say like those guys will maybe pay a little bit more attention to the draft orders or what guys out there who could possibly come to the team and make us better. But for the most part, other guys are just like, you know, not really focusing on it because hell, you know, next April they could possibly be with another team.
Yeah, no doubt. So, we'll see what happens with the Jets and the Jacksonville Jaguars, but we're going to monitor this throughout the season because if the Jets don't get Trevor Lawrence, man, their fans are going to go crazy.
I think the Jets going to get him, man. I hope the Jazz can pull out a miracle on Sunday, man.
We'll see. But I can tell you this much. Trevor Lawrence, he's a bad man. So whatever team drafts him, they're going to be extremely excited. In other news, Tyreek Hill, the cheetah, was seen drinking pickle juice on the sideline. And one thing about pickle juice is supposed to help prevent cramps. Do you have a go-to remedy or have you drunk anything that wasn't normal on the sideline before?
No, Mac, I used to have to do that when I was in high school, man, because, you know, I never came off the field and being in Florida, that humidity.
Yeah.
Man, that thing, it's a monster, especially like in the hurricane season. So it's nothing but rain and that moisture and the humidity. So it'll say like it's 89, but it feels like it's 105.
No question. That's South Florida heat.
So I used to drink pickle juice all the time. I used to drink pickle juice. I used to do a teaspoon of mustard. What else I used to do in high school? Yeah, that's what my head coach told me, man. Coach Steve McGirt. Kid, you know, he's like, man, Pat, man, I'm telling you, man, you got to stop. Because I used to, man, Mac, you see me in high school. I literally did not come off the field.
Yeah.
Then they used to get upset with me when I cramped. I'm like, bro, I don't have no time to have no water break. Why y'all upset with me? I don't come off the field.
Yeah.
Like, why y'all upset with me? Because I'm cramping. But anyway, he's like, yeah, man, we was playing Deerfield Beach my junior year. They came down to, our field. The game got canceled because it was hurricane season. It was 14-7. We was down, but I was at quarterback at the time and I'm about to take the hike. And right when, I was about to take a snap, a big lightning bolt had came. So boom. So now the game stopped. But before this, I'm already hurting, man. And mine, it's the second quarter. So I'm already hurting. I'm like, dog, man, I need to get into halftime and bro, like get some water because my thighs are killing me right now. So boom, get to the sideline, the game delayed, man, my whole body lock up from my ears to my fingers to my back to my toes. That was my first time ever having a full body cramp.
Yeah.
And that full body cramp hurt. So the next week we playing Coconut Creek. It's a divisional opponent. We got to beat them district at the time, district opponent. So we got to beat them to like get into the playoffs or something like that. So Coach McGirt was like, man, I've been doing all this reading. It was like, man, muscle's supposed to help. Muscle's supposed to work. Like, man, muscle's supposed to work. Muscle, and I was doing pickle juice prior.
Yeah.
Like, pickle juice ain't working, man. We're going to do a teaspoon of mustard. Man, that job was so nasty. And I don't even like mustard. So I don't eat mustard on my hot dog, no burger or nothing. So I don't even like the taste of it. So I'm like, man, I'm going to do it for the team. And I don't know if it worked or not, but I ain't cramped that game.
Yeah. Hey, I'm going to tell you one thing I used to do. Well, it wasn't my go-to, but anytime, and you didn't have to deal with this, you know, when it was cold outside, instead of having Gatorade for us or water, you know, they have chicken broth. That chicken broth, and I'm gonna tell you, boy, that chicken broth used to be so good. Either chicken broth or hot chocolate. So that's when I knew I was playing in some difficult weather because we had no water, we just have chicken broth on the sideline. And if you didn't drink the chicken broth in time, it would freeze up. So instantly, when you get that chicken broth, boy, you drinking it extremely fast because you don't want to let it sit in the cup because it would freeze up. But Denver used to have the best chicken broth, man. Denver used to have some, man, that chicken broth used to be so good.
Yeah.
Man, they taking me back. Well, I love some good chicken broth. No question. So, hey, in other news, I don't know if you heard Pat P, but on a recent episode of Get Your Popcorn Ready, which is Terrell Owens' new podcast, Randy Moss, he said he's the best wide receiver ever. Said he'll put Jay Rice either third or fourth. His exact words, I'll put myself first. I'll put T.O. second. I will put Jerry probably third or fourth. I'm talking about dominating the game and changing the game of football. I don't live on statistics because if you live on statistics and live on championships, that's all political. Then Owens followed and said, when you think about Jerry and the quarterbacks he played with, he never had a drop off in quarterback play. He went from one Hall of Fame quarterback to another. Then more from Moss. Moss came back and said, I don't want the fans and the people watching your podcast to get it messed up. Like we dislike or discredit anything Jerry was able to do or ever accomplish. I don't want people to think myself and T.O. are slandering or bashing anything Jerry did because Jerry was at the top. Then Jerry Rice responded on Instagram with a post that he since deleted. Caption read, you got mossed, and offered a side-by-side comparison of their stats. Now the stats, I mean, they're not even comparable. You know, Jerry played 21 seasons. Randy played 14. Jerry had over 1,500 receptions. Randy had over 900. Jerry had over 22,000 yards. Randy had over 15,000. Jerry had 197 touchdowns. Randy 156. And of course, Super Bowl wins and Super Bowl MVPs all in favor of Jerry Rice. And we've had this debate before. I think me and you talked about it. Cromartie talked about it on our, one of our more recent episodes. But do you think there's any legit argument or comparison when you talk about the best wide receiver ever? Or do you believe it's Jerry and nobody else can be in that conversation?
It's difficult to compare the two because you got to think Jerry played almost 5 years longer besides Larry. I think it's 4 years with Larry right now because Larry's in year 17, but he almost played almost 4 to 5 years longer than everybody else that's on that list. And Randy is what? That's 40 touchdowns. So I think he could have got that in, you know, a couple of years because he had what 21 touchdown season at the, you know, in my opinion, at the peak of his career. But, you know, I think it's hard to compare the receivers, especially in the different eras that they played in, you know, in the different body of work that they have, you know, because Jerry was much more like a, I won't necessarily say a finesse receiver because he had it all. He can go deep, you know, he can run crisp routes, but Randy was a guy that you had to have a safety over top of him because he was just so fast and just unorthodox how he was able to get behind coverages. And T.O., he was just a little bit of both. Now he can run great routes, but he had a different stature of a body. You know, he was much more of a goddess statue of a receiver. So it's hard to kind of say who is the greatest receiver of all time because everybody have different flavor. Because like for me, you know, obviously I grew up watching Randy. Moss is like one of the things that you always heard. And to their point and to their credit, you know, quarterback play is definitely has a lot to do with, you know, a receiver success. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Because obviously they have to depend on the guy who's, you know, throwing them the ball to be at a high level. And like those guys said, they never had, you know, that caliber of a talent to play with on a consistent basis throughout their career. So, we all know all three of those guys are great, but for me, it's hard to say who's the best because I never really watched Jerry growing up until like he played with Oakland and a little bit when he was with the 49ers. You know, I grew up watching the T.O.'s, the Larry's, the Randy Mosses, the list goes on. But, you know, it's hard to pick.
Yeah.
Who's the best receiver of all time, though?
I think when you look at both, all three guys, you know, it's different eras, different situations, offensively, the structure, but they all were extremely good, clearly Hall of Famers. But right. If you were to categorize the players, the three, I think when it comes to longevity, no one would ever do what Jerry did, in my opinion, right? Now, when it comes to just being a dominant player, I think you would put T.O. in that category. He's one of the more dominant wide receivers to ever lace up his cleats in the National Football League. But then when it comes to being feared, Randy put fear, not just in the guys who were trying to cover him, Randy put fear in the defensive coordinators that were trying to draw up schemes to stop right. him. Right. So Randy might be the most feared player ever offensively. You know what I mean? Based on what he had as a player, right? 6'4", 6'5", 6'6", running 4'2". You can't even create that play on the video game. You know what I'm saying? So that's something that was rare to see. And they're all great in their own right. And you always have that conversation about the greatest of all time in any professional sport. But one thing that people utilize and they always go to when you're trying to determine who's great, championships, right? Championships. You know what I mean? So it's a good discussion.
About championships, man, that's a, you know, cause me and Richard got in this argument a long time ago when we wasn't necessarily seeing eye to eye. Yeah. You know, when we was talking about who the best, this, that, and the other. Then he was telling me, you know, he reposted a picture, and I thought it was funny, of his championship ring. But I'm like, yeah, that's cute, but that's a team effort. Like, mm-hmm. it takes everything to perfectly gel together and work in your favor to win that. I can see if it was golf. I can see if it was a single person or you know, tennis match.
Yeah.
That's all individually driven.
Yeah.
It's different in those arenas. So, I hate when people bring up that analogy that, oh, championships. Yeah, it does carry a different weight. But when it's in a team sport, you also have to have other teammates and other pieces to help that person get the championship.
No doubt. When it comes to football, I think football is the ultimate team sport because you're relying on 10 other guys, right? And then when you talk about the other 11 starters, you know, that's a lot you have to rely on for you guys to get to that level. And yeah, it's definitely a team sport. You know, now transitioning to another team sport. The NBA is set to return this week. We know, Pat, you're a big time NBA fan. They set to return after, its shortest offseason ever. You know, the offseason, was only 72 days and normally an offseason is 130 days. But with the NBA slated to return this week, we have some NBA season predictions. And what we will do, we will give our answers to these questions and we will revisit this towards the end of the season to see exactly who was closer or if not picking the exact player for these questions. So the first question when it comes to the NBA season, who do you like to win the MVP this season?
I'm going to go AD.
I was thinking about AD. I was thinking about LeBron. But I don't know if these guys are going to start the season on fire because of the length they played this past season in the bubble. So I'm not saying I expect to see a slow start, but I don't expect to see the bubble material that they provided for us. And because of that, I'm going to go Luka.
Okay.
I think Luka. Yeah. I think
I could definitely see Luka win. I think it's definitely going to be two new names in the race this year for sure.
And I can tell you this much when it comes to the betting standpoint, listeners and viewers who love the dab and to some gambling, AD is plus 900 to win. Luka is the favorite right now, minus 300. So talking about more value, the value play is AD if you want to put something on the line when it comes to MVP. All right, winner of the East. Who do you like winning the East?
Man, if KD can stay healthy, Brooklyn. If Brooklyn and KD can be healthy and the pieces that they got on their team, like we talked about, everything have to mesh together perfectly.
Yeah.
I think they can definitely win the East. I don't think Milwaukee has enough. Boston going to compete. Toronto going to compete. The Heat is going, I think it's going to be Heat, Nets, Heat, and the conference championship.
Yeah. And
I
real
think
quick,
Nets are going to edge in my opinion.
And real quick, I said minus 300 plus 300 for Luka. He's a favorite. So you're picking the Nets without Harden or potentially with Harden?
Without Harden.
Okay. All right. So me personally, this is a tough one. When you look at the East, I don't know if the Nets got enough. You know what I mean? I don't know if they got enough. I think collectively speaking, the best team overall team is Milwaukee. I think they will get a shot. I think they got the best player currently in the East based on what we know from a year ago. Now, Durant is always in that conversation, but we haven't really seen Durant, you know, play meaningful basketball since tearing his Achilles. So I would go with Milwaukee, just collectively the chemistry they already have. And remember, this it's a difficult offseason for most players. So some of the new additions might not get into rhythm until midway through the season. So I'll go Milwaukee. Wes, I know you're picking the Lakers. I'm picking the Lakers too. Finals. Ooh. Who you see meeting in the finals?
Man, obviously Lakers. I'm gonna have to say everybody's dream matchup, man. They want to see the Brooklyn Nets and freaking the LA Lakers go at it. I think it can go down. But if the Heat find a way to get James Harden, I think the Heat will win it. But yeah. The Heat will win the East. But if not, I think it's gonna be the Nets and the Lakers.
Well, he came out and said they're out of the James Harden running, so I don't think that's okay. Going to happen. So me, of course, I took the Bucks to come out of the East, so I'll say Giannis and Bron. I think that people would love to see that. But I could easily see, you know me, I wouldn't be mad at seeing the Nets get there as well. The crazy part about it, if you don't have any fans, just imagine missing out on having the finals in the Barclays Center.
Oh, man.
Think about Damn, that, just man. Missing that's out on great. That.
Coast to coast.
No question. Hey, you guys know what time it is. It's halftime. Time to go in, make some adjustments, make sure we hydrate. But on the other side of halftime, we'll be joined by LaVar Ball. We just talked about the NBA. You know, he has a
Big
lot to say.
Brand, baby.
Big baller brand. Throw up the triple B's. Make sure you stay tuned. When we come back, LaVar Ball will be joining us here. All things covered. Patrick Peterson, Brian McFadden.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Yo, 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 welcome back to All Things Covered. We just finished with halftime. We got an opportunity to hydrate. Now it's time to jump right into the second half of our show. We promised you guys early in the show, every week we're dropping a special guest. We will have a special guest joining us, All Things Covered, Pat Peterson and Brian McFadden. We promised you guys earlier, LaVar Ball, he's now joining us here. Before we get into LaVar, let me give him his intro. This man has established an intro. He's earned an intro, so I must give him his legit intro. Businessman, entrepreneur, father, former athlete himself, CEO of Big Baller Brand, throw up the triple B's, founder of the Junior Basketball Association, dad to Lonzo, LiAngelo, and LaMelo, Mr. Ball, thank you for joining us here on All Things Covered. How's everything going with you?
Everything's good, man. Thank you guys for having me, man.
Yeah, yeah. And before we get started, you know, with who you are as an individual and of course your sons, me and Pat P, we both play football, right? We play a go-getter, a man sport where we hit people in the mouth. And then once upon a time, you had a football career as well. You know, you played for the Jets, you played for the Panthers. Tell us a little bit about your football game. What type of player were you?
That type of player, listen to me. Back in my day, like I tell folks, man, I was just an athlete. I'd play anything. Football, basketball, baseball, track, diving, gymnastics, whatever. I was good at all that, man. So that's, you know, back in our day, man, we just played sports whatever season it was.
Yeah.
These, nowadays, you stuck on one because they got this AAU stuff. Basketball lasts all year. They got the football thing with the passing leagues now. That lasts forever. Baseball, everything. So one sport now, it's just you just go through it. So that's why I don't miss sports like people think. Like, you miss football? No, I didn't play long enough.
Yeah.
You miss basketball? Nope, didn't play long enough. You know.
Right.
So if I'm not playing 20 years or 15 years when you go through the little midget program, and I didn't start playing sports. My dad didn't let us play till I was in the 10th grade.
Mm-hmm. Jeez.
So it was. But as far as being the biggest and the strongest and fast, that was me. I'd play anything.
Right. So do you think coming up short, obviously being in that arena, help you push your boards to where they are right now?
No. Like I tell folks before, man, I don't push my boys. I lead them, because when they push, that means resistance.
Right.
When I lead you, that means you get behind me. You can get off anytime you feel like this ain't the road for you. Just turn the other way and go do something else.
Right.
But as far as me, I understand. I love sports. And, you know, marrying my wife, she's a sports girl too. So, you know, the boys, last name Ball, what they going to do?
Well, LeVar, obviously you have an eye for talent. You know what I mean? Being able to recognize what it is your sons were good at growing up, you know, as children, you know what I mean? So tell us about, at what moment did you realize, yo, my boys can be special, you know, playing a game of basketball?
You know, everybody asked me that, man. I said before they came out the womb, for me picking my wife.
Oh, so you
picking my wife, man.
So when you pick your wife, you had that already in your thought, already in your mental, like, yo, I need to pick a woman to produce with that can give me somebody who's 6'3", 6'4". That's what you're telling us?
6'3", 6'4". How about 6'7", 6'8"?
Well, hey, correct
me.
Go
get you a 6-footer. See, I know. I give me a 6-footer.
Well, how tall is your wife?
6-footer and a girl who's intelligent, pretty, and also love the game of basketball. She's a basketball player.
Okay, so you find your hooper.
We can spend 10, 15 hours in the gym, and it's like a family outing for us. That's why the boys are so good.
Man. Hey, so, hey, LeVar, I'm a fan of the show. I think it was on Facebook or something like that.
Yeah, it's on Facebook.
Yeah, so I was a fan of the show when it dropped about 2 to 3 years ago. I can't remember, but I do remember this line, and this before any of your boys. I think this when Lonzo. Lonzo was at UCLA. He was a freshman, but you said Melo is my best ball player. What did you see that was so different from Melo?
I didn't see nothing different from my boys because all of them great. But Melo, most of the time, look at any family that's balling out of control. The youngest is usually the best. Why? You get to see all the experience, and I do things differently. People look at me and they say, "Whoa, LaMelo." Is they skip over Jello. Jello got that size and that strength. He just need that opportunity, and when he get that, he gonna shine, and folks gonna be like crazy. But if he ever get with one of his brothers, they know what he about, and that's when he gonna be super successful. Now, here's the thing. They look and they say, oh, LaMelo's better than what Lonzo was at 19. Of course, because like I told before, I make them like phones. What phone get better every year? So I took Zoe the regular route, which is high school, and go to college, number one pick or whatever. Okay. I see the flaw in that. I say, okay, the people that Lonzo played at 16 is not the people that Melo played at 16. You talk about Ricky Rubio and these other guys that played overseas to play pros when they was overseas and they come over here. So now I do something that ain't never been done before. This is why Melo is so good right now. Folks is looking at him like, oh, he's so much confidence. No, check it out. Melo been a pro since he been 16. That's what they don't say.
Sound like Luka.
Yeah, he played in my pro league, the JBA, for a year. Grown folks over. Melo's just in a different league. He's been playing against grown men since he's been 16. But nobody has the money to take their kid from the hood where all the talent is at and go overseas.
Yeah, it sounds like Luka. Luka was a pro, I think.
See, that's what I'm saying. But Luka already over in his little thing, doing his thing. So when I take an American over there, Melo was the youngest pro ever, 16. But Melo over there a little differently. Because Melo over there is 16 with his own signature shoe. Luka ain't got no signature shoe.
Well, he's supposed to be getting one. I think he with Jordan brands. I think it's supposed to be.
Yeah, everybody's supposed to be getting one. But they ain't got one.
Melo got it. And Melo just got drafted in November to the Charlotte Hornets. Were you disappointed he didn't go number one?
Disappointed? Why would I be disappointed? How many folks you know disappointing your son become a millionaire?
I mean,
here's another thing. He went number one for Jordan's number one pick, the greatest of all time. Okay. I don't want to go to Minnesota so everybody can say he was number one, but we living in the cold like that? No. He number two. I told him I don't want him going to Golden State because Golden State already got their team.
Right.
You know, so they're not going to let him do what he do. I bet you they crying right now. God dang, he was there. We should have took it. I know you should have took it. Watch what he do over there in Charlotte. If all three of my boys get over there, Mike got a chance.
Wait a minute.
Do the right thing and don't let folks get in his head and say, you know what, let me go get all three of them boys. Get all three of them. I guarantee they win a championship. Folks don't understand that. I'm not saying that because, you know, you have to make sacrifices to win championships. And what it is
yes, you do.
The sacrifice that the Bulls made was having the best player, the second best player on the team, don't get no money. That's Scottie Pippen.
Yep.
Hey, that's a sacrifice. The other sacrifice is that the Lakers and everybody won, they used to stay together for a long time, even though the contracts are big. You can't stay together now because now they offer you more money. Come over here with your own team. Let's try to create the big three. So everything is back and forth, you know. But see, my boys would be family and say, yeah, we ain't worried about how much money we get. We'll make more of that off the court. And guess what? We're going to stay together for 15, 20 years.
And speaking of all three of your boys playing in Charlotte, potentially, is what you're telling us. The news that just broke today with the Pelicans saying that LaMelo won't be returned. Well, not saying he won't be returning, but that he's going to be a free agent after this season. So
you're talking about Lonzo.
Lonzo, my bad. Lonzo will be a free agent after this season. So is that a segue for you to find a way to get him to Charlotte?
It's not a segue. I'm telling y'all, if Mike do what he's supposed to do, tell me who ain't going to watch all three of the ball boys on the same team. And they play at a speed that's so fast
Can they coexist together, though?
Melo and Jello and Zoe, them guys playing in the league right now, they got to slow down for these guys. Right.
So you're saying they could coexist together? Because who's going to play the point?
Let me tell you this. The last Mello's time my three boys was together, they was babies, and they went undefeated in high school as babies. Nobody can touch them. Now, you think all three of them playing as grown men, 6'7", 6'7", and 6'8", they can't switch and play? Guys don't run fast enough. That's why Melo can't take the ball out and just throw it the length of the court because they ain't took off yet. Them dudes still jogging. They're not even expecting that pass.
But, you know, the NBA a little different in high school. The NBA a little different than high school.
Let me tell you again, they did that in high school as babies. And my boys are a little different now. They're all grown men. You know how fast they're playing? I tell you what, on a bad day, they put up together 45 points a quarter. On a bad day.
I'm telling you, they play so fast.
I see so many passes and stuff that's out there that nobody else sees but my boys, and they don't have enough people to run. That's why I said, them guys together, we averaged 100 points in 32 minutes in high school. That was some easy stuff. Now they're bigger and stronger and now switching and catching lobs. Man, they don't want to see my boy. I put Melo and Jello in the JDA. They was triple doubles, 50 points. But everybody say, oh, that's LeVar's league. They was playing pro rules, three-pointers and 48 minutes with no subs.
I will say Melo is definitely playing at a different level as a rookie for sure. The way his basketball IQ, the way he's passing ball up and down the court. And not only that, the style points he's getting on his passes, the way he just looks so comfortable, man.
He's comfortable because, like I said, when you're a pro for 3 years, the only thing that's changing with him is the league. The players are more talented in the league, but they still grown. None of these guys in high school, you're playing guys 22, 23, 24 maybe. Melo been playing against grown men with 27, 30. We go overseas with the JBA, with my little world tour. We go to 15 different countries. Them dudes on them teams wasn't no babies. They had families. Right. And we whooping their ass with the fact that, oh, that's LeVar's league. It don't count. Well, how do you think he got good? You know what they say about Lonzo and Melo? Hey, man, they're so good with what they do, you can't teach it. Who the hell you think taught them?
Taught them, right.
Oh, something like that? Come on. And if Jello didn't do his thing, like I told him before, he would have been a lottery pick. Like I was telling Detroit, I'm trying to get y'all a lottery pick for free, but y'all don't get it.
So why you don't think Jello had a true chance with the Pistons?
Jello didn't get a true chance on the fact that, I don't know. Like I told him, I said, hey, if this dude get all his notoriety, and you got to throw him out there just to see what he do.
Right.
You don't have common sense to do that. Come on, these games don't count.
Right.
Let's let the people decide. Say, you know what, man? I saw him out there. He just looked raggedy. He couldn't do nothing, man. But you don't even put him out there because it's the resume that you got him. Not even the resume. it's political. You know, that's how things go. You got these guys drafted in there and you got them all high. Hey, put Jello in there and passing the ball. He go for 20 and 30. Now you forget about Killian Hayes that you took first pick and say, somebody got to get fired now.
Right.
Because you didn't pick somebody that was – I'm just telling you, but some of these other folks and their agents, that's why I said, let's see what Roc Nation could do and say, you know what? Let's let Jello play with his brothers one time. Let's see something. Let's see the brothers together. I don't care. And that's why I told him, hey, time's going by. Somebody get his ass with New Orleans or get his ass over there in Charlotte. Somewhere.
So what do you think is next for Jello?
That's the same. That's the thing that's next. That's the thing that's next, man. Right now, I got him out there. He's working on stuff, man. You know, the Detroit, what you going to just sit over there? Nah, he over there in New Orleans. They might do something.
Right.
You never know. I say, go hang out with your big brother. Go work out with him. So Jello's still working out doing his thing. This is what people don't get. They act like Jello is 25 years. Jello just turned 22 years old.
Yeah.
Young, but he got everything they say that Lonzo and LaMelo can't do. This dude could do. He's stronger. He got a real jumper. He jump in the air and shoot. That's a jumper. So that's why he's 3-pointer. He's more deadly. Everywhere he's been the highest scorer. You got to give him that time. Just like people was like, I was like, if they decide to ever let Jello just play, he went in my league and averaged 50. I don't care what league you in. You average 50, you a scorer. He can put that ball in the hole.
Mm-hmm. So what's your favorite memory of the boys growing up or playing your favorite memory of them three in a game together?
Man, my favorite memory is always the same memory. Every time they all three together, they just win.
Yeah.
So it don't matter what game it is. I was like, man, they killing them again. It's just like, wow. I enjoy watching my boys play all three together. Like I said, by themselves, they good. With two of them, they better. But with three of them, they at their best. Yeah. They at their best. But all three of them, because the chemistry is there, and they understand, like, the angles that Melo see, Jello see, Zosi, and it's like, it's very fast. It's very fast.
You know what, LeVar, I like to give you some tribute because I can tell you this much. I remember when Lonzo was at UCLA, and that was a talented team that UCLA had that year. Went deep in March Madness, if I'm not mistaken. But I started watching UCLA basketball because of you. Vocally, yes. Your voice was reaching us here on the East Coast, right?
Right.
And I'm basketball-wise, I'm a Duke basketball fan. I went to Florida State. I root for Florida State basketball, but I just grew up as a child. I was a Grant Hill fan, so that's who I gravitated to. But when your voice started to, like, transition and reach us on the East Coast, I'm like, man, who is this loudmouth man keep talking about his boy? And I thought you was just the average father who believes their kid is the best in the world. Because, you know, most of us as parents, we're going to always think our kid is the best at whatever it is they're doing.
So I'm like, man,
let me tap in to see exactly what this dude talking about, who this Lonzo kid is. So I literally watched. I forgot. I can't remember if they were playing against SC or who they were playing against, some Pac-12 team. I said, man, he really got something. I mean, so my question to you is, at what point in time did you feel like the platform that he had currently was an opportunity for you to create a bigger platform for him? And did you feel like you put too much pressure on him based on some of the things you were saying about his game?
Here's the thing, man. You said they had an awesome team. Tell me who was on that team.
Well, I won't say
exactly.
They were
that
awesome.
Team was raggedy, man. Before my boy got there, how many games they winning? Nothing. He come to make everybody better. All them folks got drafted. You ain't hear about him now.
Hold on, everybody,
team that was balling. Y'all, that team was terrible, man. But he made that team. And the way I tell people, they're not gonna lose. And I tell you what, they wouldn't have lost. He was on his way to go do what I told him to do.
What you told him to do?
I tell him you win the NCAA tournament, you first pick anyway. But what deterred that is a little mishap where his mama got, you know, had the stroke. This is something that happened to a kid. You don't expect nothing, but they gave him the information bad. Somebody texted him something, some family member texted him the shit, saying that his mama's about to die. Now, he break down after that. You can't. I told him, go ahead and play, man. I'm going to do my thing. I'm going to take care of my woman. Don't worry about it. Your mama's mine. I'm good. We good. So go ahead and do your thing. And that's what people don't understand. That's hard for a kid who never had no problems. Nothing happened where you're not thinking about nothing. Mm-hmm. You know? So you're saying at what point in the platform, hey, I told my boys since they was babies, man, they born to go pro. So they going to be special from day one. So when I put them out there, and when them dudes was little, when Jello and Zoe and them was third grade, we was beating up on eighth grade teams. So the buzz was there. People coming to the game. It's the same way now. I ain't changed. It's the same way, and everything is the same. It's just more cameras and things right now. But it's not like I'm like, oh, you know what? I'm going to try this. I'm going to try to see if I can get more publicity on this. No. The publicity going to come anyway on the fact the way that I trained them. I expect them to be super special. Elsewise, I wouldn't spend all this time and effort with them. Like I said, if it ain't no me, it ain't no them. People get it mixed up saying, oh, you know, if it wasn't for the boys, we wouldn't hear about LeVar. No, if it wasn't for LeVar, you wouldn't hear about the buds.
Right.
Yeah.
I make them good where you got to talk about them anyway, and it just is what it is. Like I told them, we didn't go to no academies or no difference. We went around the corner because I told them, hey, if you can find somebody in Africa to hoop, you can find my son down the street on an easy freeway to get to. They're going to recognize talent, and they're going to find it. So long as we put the work in and the time in, guess what? You're going to be successful. Don't do laziness and don't put no time in and expect to be that dude. No, my boy's always been that guy, and I always praise. You're going to talk about what's yours because you understand what you put into it.
Well, I can tell you this much. They did have Leaf and Holiday on that team, so they wasn't that trash, and I think those two guys in the NBA right now.
Did you ever hear about Leaf? Leaf, you know, the luckiest thing happened to him was the other boy had to go overseas. I forget his name, but he played for Philadelphia for a minute. I forget his name, but he the other little forward that was over there. Lucky he left, because elsewise you would have never heard of T.J. Leaf. Noah, I think that's his name, Noah.
Uh-huh.
Nolan or something like that. But that dude was there. So it was like, oh, he cool. Then the other boy got hurt, Prince Ali. He would have been, athlete can run. Yeah. So some of the other guys would have been sitting down. So, hey, Zoe make everybody better. See, Holiday was smart enough to say, oh, let me move to the side. So just I come off the bench. But I got to stay an extra year after he get out of here so I can show him I can play point guard. See, now you say they're good. But when they was there, it was always small. They good players, man. But Zoe make everybody way better than what they are.
Yeah, Jonah Bolden is who you're talking about, right?
That's what – that dude.
Yeah.
Hey, if he's still there, you'll never hear about T.J. Leaf.
Gotcha, gotcha.
Because now Zoe gone, and he's not going to make you good. Look how good – the other boy should have left when Zoe had him playing Welsh. Should have left. They tried to stay one more year. Now they barely get drafted, barely get – hey, Zoe make you – hey, T.J. Leaf was smart. I'm out, top choice. How you going for the top 10 pick or whatever, man, and you ain't nowhere now? is it to drop that beat and find out you can't play? Oh, shoot. It's going to be – I'm just keeping it real. Lots will make people a lot better than folks be like, oh, man, that dude can play. Hey, let me tell you this. And this to show you that I'm not just talking. It's keeping it real.
Yeah.
Brandon Ingram was over there with the Lakers for about two, 3 years, whatever. You played one season with Lonzo, and now you're an all-star if the gap that deep. He went to New Orleans 1 year, played Lonzo the whole time, and now you're an all-star.
Hold on. Now, let me tell you something, LeVar. Talk to me. You're talking to two big-time Laker fans, right?
Yes.
And the thing about Brandon, when he jumped into the league, he improved every year, right? The player that we saw last year, I think if he stayed in L.A., he would have developed to be that player. And granted, the opportunities wouldn't be there, especially if you're talking about having Bron in the fold. But no question, I think he's an ascending player. The best is yet to come because he has a rare talent that most guys don't have that plays a position he has. But to your point, when you're dealing with a floor facilitator like Lonzo, he's able to see the court extremely well and put other guys in positions to be successful. They just got to put the ball through the hoop. But I think Brandon was in route to having a crazy good career, but it just happened to be in
the wasn't going to have no good career without Zoe. I guarantee you.
Well, heck, you
and
saying
Zoe? You something else. Hey, I ain't crazy. What about Kuzma? Zoe made that boy. He was bad when Zoe was there.
Nah, Hey.
Well, I'm just saying, stuff falling down now. But if Lonzo don't give you that ball and give you that belief and not have no ego problem, say, I'm trying to get mine.
Yeah.
The same thing people was asking me about, you know, Zion. He can run and jump. Okay. But if you're a rookie guard or whatever, and you're a rookie, you're going to try to do some stuff you're not used to. But if you got a guy who don't really care and just going to give you the ball, you're not going to get that from any other guard that was coming into the league. What I'm saying with Zion, if you got all these guards, what are they trying to do now? Score 30 and 40 points. He ain't going to pass that ball. You ain't going to get it. So you ain't going to get them points and those touches, and you're going to try to run over folks to try to make your game go up and try to do more than what you're supposed to be doing. And guess what? Lonzo understands. Zion understands. This is going to be the easiest 30 points I'm going to ever get playing with this boy.
Hey, they do you think
the Pelicans got a shot this year to fight for like that 4 or 5 seed in the West?
4 or 5 seed. It's going to be higher than that. You know why?
You know why?
I'm going to tell you something. My boys is winners, man. And if you got that coach to believe in them, that's your ass. Anybody who believe in my boys and let them do what they do.
They got Stan Van Gundy. Do you believe in Stan Van Gundy?
Shit, from what I see now, heck yeah. Well, look how Lonzo playing. Let me tell you, he ain't taking Lonzo in and out the game.
Yeah.
Lonzo got a hell of a team. And I'm going to tell you why the hell of a team is. The ball don't stick every time it's in his hands. Here's the thing. I ain't never seen Lonzo go to the side with the Pelicans with Alvin Gentry and talk about something during the game. I see him go to Stan, and Stan is talking to him. Stan says, I believe in your abilities. I believe what Zoe is doing. Zoe is my guy. So when you make Zoe your guy, he going to win. Them 15, 20-point games are going to be easy for him because he's like, okay, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to let him. Stan is like, okay, Zoe, I need you to go to the hole. You shoot 1 for 10, keep shooting. You shoot 7 out of 10, keep shooting. Take them open shots, but he got a hell of a team. You got 2 scorers. You got Brandon Ingram, and you got Zion running loose. The other 2 guys are coming in. They hustlers. Josh Hart, he can hustle.
And you got Steven Adams.
He going to rebound and hustle. So you always got a good team. You can take out Brandon Ingram. He fouled out the last game, right? Mm-hmm. But look what Lonzo did. Give me Redick. I'm going to get him 18 points just on getting open.
Yeah.
So he going to spread the wealth, and it's going to be like no problem. They win. I know they didn't have Giannis, but Giannis can't handle that speed of that game if they're always pushing it. It's not in everybody's hands now. Lonzo was missing minutes. Why? You got what's that boy name? Frank Jackson coming in. You got Noel Alexander coming in. You got Drew Holiday playing the point. You got Ingram dribbling up some. So it's too many people taking the stuff from Zoda so it don't stay at a high pace and you got it in and out the game. I tell you something else too that you guys are understanding. I'm just not even a warning. It just is what it is. If you do not know how to use Lonzo the right way, you will be fired.
Okay, hey LeVar, where you getting this from? What makes you feel?
Where am I getting it from? You saw it?
No, nah, well, tell
you
us. Tell
Luke Walton didn't know how to lose it. Where he at? Fire.
Well, he went to Kings.
Hey, Alvin Gentry, you all know how to use him right. Fire. Man, get it right, baby.
They ain't getting it right. But earlier now, wait a minute. Hold on. I know you rocking and rolling with Stan, and I think he is a real good coach, especially for the pieces
Stan,
they have.
Until you don't do him wrong, you understand what Zoe's about. And, hey, let him do what he's doing. You got faith in him. I'm good.
But LeVar, you just said after this year, you trying to get Zoe to Charlotte.
What's that got to do with this year?
You right.
You're there this year.
What's it got to do with this year? Because, hey, I'm going to tell you what. My son, you know, man, you got to pick family before you pick all your friends. So that's what
blood
I'm saying. I'm like,
water.
Dude, this is what I want. This is what I know. The success that my boys have together. So I'm going to be like, yo, if Zoe had a choice, do I play with – this is what folks don't understand. Do I have a chance to play with Zion and Ingram, or do I have a chance to play with Jello and Melo? Okay. He going to pick Jello and Melo, guaranteed.
Well, speaking of Jello and Melo, how's that Big Baller Brand status? What's the status of Big Baller Brand right now?
That Big Baller Brand status is good. You look big. Come on, man.
I see you got the triple B's on, baby.
Huh? You see you got the shirt on.
You know I keep my triple B's on, man. But look, here's the thing. This is what people didn't understand. They said, man, without your boys, triple B's ain't this and that and that. They don't understand. If I stop, that's when triple B's stop. Triple B's is a family brand. These B's are still, everybody, what they still talking about? We came out in 2016, man. We still here. Like I told them, I ain't got to be first. I ain't got to be last, but I'm in the race.
Right.
I'm the only one coming this league with his own brand. These triple B's are strong. They're not local. They're global. I've been to 18 different countries with this, man. You go somewhere, they know what triple B's is.
Right.
And I'm the only one that's independent and ownership is showing everybody these B's, they mine. And you know what I tell them in Charlotte? These triple B's, we stay.
Mm-hmm. So what's next for the brand? What's next for the brand? Number one, And when you look at your boys, I don't know exactly who LaMelo signed with, but I know Zoe started out wearing the brand and then he ventured off to wear other brands. Well,
here's,
what's next
the
for
thing.
The brand?
And let me explain this to you guys, man, so you guys understand.
Yep.
The Triple B's is a family brand, man. They can do other things, but they always going to be with Triple B's. They always with me. Mm-hmm. Yeah, just because you don't wear the apparel or something like that, man, I got water coming out, rims, tires. Who you think when I die, who I'm going to give this to? It's in the family. It goes right to them.
Hey, but did you say you got rims and tires coming out?
Puma, they signed with this. They're not rocking that. My boys is always with Triple B's. These three B's represent them.
Okay. So, well, speaking of the Triple B brand, you know, your son Melo plays for Jordan. And, of course, I heard you, you know, basically call out MJ on Shannon Sharpe's podcast, Club Shay Shay.
Are you one on one?
Was that? Were you jokingly saying that? Or are you legit?
Man, come on! Hey, I'm gonna tell y'all again. One on one, big baller, never lost. One on one, my will to win is too strong. I'm too fast, too strong. When I was young, I would have killed him. I was too strong for him. Hey, right now, I will kill him. He's 57 years old and smoke cigars and drink. He got dog in him. I ain't got no dog in me. I'm a gorilla. You can't hang with no gorilla. I'm going to tell you. I drink milk and eat steaks. How you going to mess with me? I'm 280.
Well, what kind of
Still,
shape, what kind of shape are you in?
I'm all day lifting him off his feet.
What kind of shape are you in, LeVar?
I'll tell you what. I'm you say, in better you shape drink, than a 57-year-old man when I'm 53. I guarantee that. I can eat donuts all day.
You eating steak and drinking milk? That's not a good diet.
But hey, let me tell you why it ain't a good diet. See, they don't want me to eat like that because they don't want me to be that go.
They want you to win.
Small. They fooled you, man. Don't eat that. See, when they make your brother strong, they come out with their new stuff. Don't eat the eggs. Don't drink the milk. Don't drink the water. Yeah, because they want to make you. You're getting too strong for them. That's why. They said, man, we got to tone this one down.
Okay, let me ask you this question. You talk about playing MJ one-on-one. When's the last time you played a legit pickup game?
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask.
When's the last time I played a legit pickup game? I left the window open for 50 years. Now the door is closed. I don't play no pickup games.
Well, how you gonna challenge the greatest of all time to a one-on-one battle if you haven't played a pickup game in about 20 or so years?
Here's the thing. When you're good, you're good. I don't play basketball at all. I can bag your ass in for one good game where you'd be like, that boy, call, he's strong, man. I'm telling you.
You can have one good game.
I ain't got to play dominoes for 10 years, and I still can whoop your ass. I'm just good at basketball. You know, he ain't played in 3 years, but I know if somebody opened and passed the ball, I know how to catch. I know how to shoot. It's simple.
Well, I can tell you this much.
I don't do no pickup game. Why would I do a pickup game, man, big ball of CEO? I don't need no pickup, man. I'm too old to be running and jumping. But I tell you what, for the small price of $200 million pay-per-view, I'd give you one good game.
Hey, you know what? I'll support. We'll support the cause. I'll pay for that pay-per-view.
Hey, so would you really go into training if that was to happen? Like, boom, March 21st is the game. Would you go into training then, or are you just going to show up ready to roll?
My last name is Ball. I'm a ball till I fall. I don't got to go into no training, baby.
What?
And no, I'm going to tell you again. Ain't no 57-year-old man going to beat me. I don't care how much training he's doing. He's 57. I'm 53. If I feel like garbage at 53, I can imagine how he feel at 57.
Wait a minute. So you mean to tell me you're going to be so disrespectful that you won't even train leading up to the one-on-one?
And think about it. Probably showing up, man.
No need. Big baller come as is.
Hey, Pat, you know, LeVar probably got that old man game too. He's going to back you in, get to the rim and try to get an easy hoop.
I'm going to do that the whole game. And every time I don't make one, you know what it is? Fire! Quick foul!
Jail
ball. Give him all, check up. I guarantee you. And he's saying, I don't want to play no more. I know you don't. Because you keep fouling me. Ain't no way. I'm going to do a jump hook with the right or a jump hook with the left. I'm still good, but I'm going to put you under the basket.
Oh, man.
You know what they say? He can't shoot. You know why? I ain't going to shoot. Here I come again, and you're going to get tired of me.
One thing I can't say about you, LeVar, you know your strength and your weakness, and you play to your strength.
I know my strength.
Yeah, you play to your strength. But I at some point in time, I don't know when it comes to this season with the pandemic, I don't know if you'll be able to attend any games in Charlotte, but at some point in time, I'm pretty sure you'll be able to attend some games, and maybe you can mention that to MJ.
I ain't got to interrupt MJ. Like I tell MJ, man, let's not make this about me and you. Let's go get you some wins. Get my three boys and make history. You know how you make history? You're going to be the first black owner to ever win a championship at anything. That's what we got to focus on, the winning and the grinning. Don't focus on the one-on-one. Let the people on the outside worry about that. I want to bring you my boys for them victories. Forget about, LeVar and MJ. Man. That's why I tell them how cold I am, man. You're supposed to be talking about who's better, Kobe, LeBron, against Mike. And what's everybody saying? They want to see the matchup. They don't even want to see them two play one-on-one. They want to see the big baller. I ain't play no NBA, but they want to see that game.
Hey, when you're right, yes, you're right. Sir.
Yeah, that's what it is.
I tell you, LeVar, you paint a great, great picture, man. I know it's all belief, and I'm with you 100%.
Uh-huh.
We know you got time. We know you got time and short on your hand. We're gonna jump into our superlative part of the show. Quick questions. You just give us back your quick answer.
And real quick, you can't answer your son any of your sons for any of the questions we're asking you. So these are son-related questions. Yep.
Okay.
Best point guard right now in the NBA.
Best point guard in the NBA right now? Boom. Shoot. I'm trying. All right. The best point guard, I think, is the boy from Dallas, Luka.
Luka. Mm. Yeah. Yeah, Luka. I'm right there with you. Best passer in the NBA right now?
Best passer in the NBA? That's a hard one because there ain't too many folks out there passing that ball. You know what? But you know who has a good eye for passing that ball? I think the Ben Simmons boy.
Yeah, from Philly.
Yeah.
I agree. Best shooter in the game right now.
Best shooter in the game right now, probably KD.
Yeah. Ooh,
pure shooter.
Pure shooter.
Best overall player in the league right now, player.
That's LeBron.
I thought you might have said something crazy. You know how I don't know if you okay. You're right there.
Who's better than LeBron?
I'm right there with you. I mean, I think King James.
That's all I'm talking about. Crazy. What's crazy about that? Hey, don't help. Don't
I thought
angry.
You would say. I thought you would have said something else.
No.
Yeah. Okay.
Who will win a one-on-one matchup, Lonzo or Melo?
One-on-one matchup, Lonzo or Melo? I'm gonna go with Lonzo.
Why are you picking Lonzo?
You're the older brother. Don't let your little brother beat you.
Well, you just said the youngest one, the best one.
The youngest going to be the best one.
So that
going to be the best one.
Okay. Well, how about this one?
Lonzo is the best one right now. Jello has the potential to be the best one on the fact that he's bigger and stronger. Melo's going to be the best because he's the youngest and he get all the experience.
Hey, real quick. Funny. It's funny you mentioned that with Jello because when you look at his body size, his measurables, I think Jello would be a heck of a tight end. He never thought about playing football?
His mentality ain't for football, it was basketball. He a cold-ass basketball player, been a high scorer every time, everywhere he went. People like to overlook that, man. Like I said, this fool was – when we was at Chino Hills, he was a high scorer every single year. That's what people don't get. They didn't want to – he the only three-star they call three-star that had a 67 game, a 72, and three 50-point games, 50-something. He averaged and led California in scoring his senior year. You don't make it to the McDonald's All-American win. He didn't leave North Carolina or South, a small state. He had the state of California. And you don't make the McDonald's All-American game? Shoot, come on. And you only lost three games. You were 160 in a row. Who they think was the dude? Take out that middle piece, take out Jello, and you don't get that. On the fact that he was our best three-point shooter and our best post-up guy.
Well, shoot, I'm pretty sure based on his work ethic and you staying behind him, he's going to get a shot. And we all going to be cheering for him.
We're going to get a shot.
We all going to be cheering for him. More likely to win an MVP first, Lonzo or Melo?
Lonzo.
Okay.
Most likely to win their first ring, Lonzo or Melo?
Lonzo. Well, I'll tell you this. Ain't none of them going to win no ring unless all three of them together. They'll go through if they separate it. They'll be Charles Barkley. 20-something years, no rings.
Could you beat Charles Barkley in a 1-on-1?
Stop it.
Yes or no?
I'm not even gonna answer.
He said, "Stop it."
No way, boy can mess. Man, stop it. Ooh, He's not good enough. He's not even in the talking. It's me and Jordan, the greatest of all time, not me and Charles Barkley. Stop it.
But Charles Barkley, a bigger body. You talk about trying to dummy up Jordan in the post. I don't know if you can do that to Charles.
I go around Charles, too fat and too slow.
Hey, I can tell you this much. Hey, LaVar, man, you got the confidence of a gorilla, man, as my uncle would say, man.
Hey, that's what he said he was. You heard him?
Oh, he did say that. He did say
he's a gorilla.
Hey, you said it. You did say that earlier, right? Okay. It makes sense now.
Yes.
No doubt about it, man.
It makes sense. But, hey, man, LaVar, man, we appreciate you joining us here on All Things Covered.
Thank you, guys.
We're big fans of everything you're doing, sir. Man. Continue to do it and continue to speak things into existence. And anytime you're doing anything, man, you can let us know. We're here right here for you. But before we let you go, is anything you want to pull up? When you talk about Big Baller Brand, anything you got coming up?
Hey, Big Baller Brand going to get in the league that they ain't even seen, man. I got some new merch coming out, but also I'm going to get in that Triple B racing, that motorcycle game.
Oh.
Watch this leather jacket I come out with, the gloves and the motorcycle stuff. People finna fall in love with it.
When should we expect that? When should we expect that?
You're going to expect that in the next week or two. And then I got water coming out. That's going to be in the next few weeks. And then the rims and ties is right in that beginning of that new year. I ain't talking about no signature where I sign and say that's my rim or my tie. I'm talking about ownership of that.
There you have it. Hey, that's why you're an entrepreneur right now. You own things. Hey, well, yes. you keep doing what you're doing and keep providing the energy, man. It's a pleasure having you on once again. Anytime you want to join us, we got an open door policy for you or for your
much
sons.
Love, much love.
And we're going to be paying attention and supporting them as well. As long as they're not playing against the Lakers, I support the Pelicans. I support the Hornets and whatever team Jello is a part of as well.
Much love. There you go. Okay.
Yes, sir.
You be safe. Said, man, y'all keep doing your thing, man. I appreciate y'all.
Thanks again to LaVar Ball, and thanks to everyone listening to this episode of All Things Covered. If you like what you hear, make sure to subscribe and leave a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts. We'll be back with you on Thursday with a bonus episode with Fabulous, where you can expect all things will be covered. Peace.
Peace.
Now streaming on Paramount Plus.
You ready, Bob?
Well, all right.
Audiences are raving. Bob Marley is electrifying. It's the feel-good movie of the year.
You dig?
Bob Marley, One Love. Rated PG-13. Now streaming on Paramount+.